Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up, not to Acts, but to 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1. Today we're going to take a little break from the book of Acts in our series titled The Force Awakens. It's funny because I was actually going back and forth about whether or not to just continue through our series this morning or to do something a little bit different just because of the fact that it's Mother's Day. And I opted to go a different direction. And the main reason is that the next section of Acts deals with the killing of Stephen, the stoning of Stephen. And it just didn't feel like a Mother's Day kind of message, right? and so I felt to go a different direction. Now, to be honest, I just got to be honest with you. I try to be sensitive on Mother's Day, because even though it's a joyous day for many as they celebrate, you know, maybe for those moms and their kids, you know, that give them stuff, and it's this joyous day, or maybe you giving things to your mom, it can be a joyous day for many. But I know that it can also be a very dreaded day for many as well. And there's many reasons why. Maybe many have lost their mothers. And so this day, it becomes extremely difficult for them because it reminds them of that. There are also some that maybe just haven't had a good relationship with their mother. And so Mother's Day just kind of makes things more difficult in the process to think about that. And then there are those who desire to be moms, but they aren't yet. My wife and I, we know that pain all too well as we tried for 6 years to have kids. And we tried and we prayed and we just didn't know what was going on, going through a miscarriage in the process. And during that time, every Mother's Day was just a painful reminder of the fact that we didn't have kids. And so I know that Mother's Day can be difficult for many. And if you're here today walking through maybe one of these challenges or another challenge, my prayer for you is just that the God of all comfort would be with you today. That He would be with you to help you through these difficult days like today. And that you would just be able to trust in God's good and perfect will in your life. And I know that's hard, but that's my prayer for you today. Today, what we're going to do is we're going to look at a mother in the Bible, a mother named Hannah. Some of you may be familiar with this story. Hannah is the mother of Samuel. But I'm not going to focus as much on Hannah, the mother, as I am on Hannah, the woman of faith. And that's the title of my message, Hannah, a woman of faith. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can follow along with me. We're going to read 1 Samuel chapter 1. So I'm going to read a pretty big chunk of Scripture this morning. But it's a great, great Scripture about an amazing woman of faith that we're going to talk more about here in just a minute. This is what it says, beginning in chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "There was a certain man from Ramoth..." I listened to how to say these earlier in the week, and then crud, now I forget how to say them. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, I guess, something like that, a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, or Jeroham, I can't remember, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite." Not tofu, tohu, okay? Verse 2, "He had two wives, one called Hannah and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, Her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine." Verse 15, "Not so, my Lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and they went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." When the man Elkanah went up with all of his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, "After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always." "Do what seems best to you," Elkanah, her husband, told her. "Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word." So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. And she said to him, "As surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. A lot of words there, but I hope you got that story and saw the woman of faith that Hannah was. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to look at four things that stood out to me in this section of Scripture that talks about Hannah, the woman of faith. Four things that we can learn from Hannah. The first one is this: women of faith have problems too. Women of faith have problems too, okay? I think a lot of times when we look at Bible figures, or even, you know, great Christian speakers of today, these people that we hear and we love and we see them and we put them on this pedestal even, right? We think that their lives are different than ours. Like maybe life is just somehow easier for them. But the reality is we all have problems. We all go through challenges and difficulties. And Hannah, even though she was a woman of faith, was no different. I mean, look at the things that she struggled with here. First off, her husband has two wives, okay? That in itself, I don't even know how anyone could deal with that. And I don't believe... No, I'm not saying it that way. I am not. I meant... I'm talking about a woman of faith here, okay? So I'm talking about from a woman's perspective, that how difficult that would be, okay? The jealousy and vying for attention. I'm sorry, that's what I meant. It came out the wrong way. So from a woman's perspective, I don't understand how they could deal with that. And that's why I don't believe that's God's desire for anyone's life, okay? They did it back in this time, but it wasn't really necessarily what God desired for them, okay? So there were two wives. And the other thing is that this other wife, Peninnah, she wasn't very nice, right? She constantly provoked her, purposefully provoked her, leading her to tears, it said, right? And then on top of this, dealing with this, you know, the fact that they even used the word rival, right? You know, it wasn't this, you know, partnership, it was this rival. And on top of dealing with all of that, she was barren. Which, in that time and day, was one of the worst things possible for a woman. You see, the wife's main role in those days was to provide children, to be fruitful and multiply. And so to be barren was considered a curse. And Hannah would have probably been looked down upon by most people. They would have looked at her and thought, oh, what did she do? Look at her, she's barren. And it would have been a difficult thing. And because of her barrenness, this is probably why her husband had two wives. As I say this, many people believe that it's most likely he married Hannah first, right? He loved Hannah. It says that he loved her so deeply. But because she was barren, he then took on another wife to bear him children. And so Hannah was most likely socially disgraced. And her problems were as challenging as any of the problems that we face today. But her problems didn't change who she was. She was still a woman of faith. The reality is we all have problems. The reality is nobody's perfect. We all mess up at times. But we can't let those things keep us from trusting in the Lord, from being the people of faith who He's called us to be. Despite her list of problems and difficulties, Hannah was still a woman of faith. Despite our problems and difficulties, God still wants us to walk in faith. You see, here's the thing we have to understand. Our difficulties and struggles don't define us, but who we are in Christ does. Who we are in Christ is what should define us. Now, the second thing that we can learn from these scriptures is this. Women of faith continually seek God in prayer. Hannah had problems, but the key is she went to the Lord in prayer with those problems. Women of faith, they take their problems to the Lord. In verse 10 it says, in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord. And then in verse 15, you know, after Eli accused her of being drunk, right? She said, no, I wasn't drunk. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Now, here's the thing we have to realize. As Hannah's praying here, this wasn't one of those quick prayers that people just throw out to the Lord when things aren't going their way, right? Oh, Lord, help me, you know. You know, Jesus, take the wheel, right? You know, as we're going off the road. It's not one of those prayers where she's just throwing up to the Lord. This was a repeated prayer that she had been bringing to the Lord continuously, time and time again. This was a heartfelt prayer. It actually tells us in verse 13 that Hannah, it wasn't coming out of her mouth, right? She was praying in her heart. In her heart, she was crying out to God. And you see, we can't ever forget the power of heartfelt prayers. We're told in Psalms 37:4 says this, "Take delight in the Lord, and what? He will give you the desires of your heart." There's something to these heartfelt prayers, and that's because they line up with the will of God. You see, when we delight in the Lord, when we seek Him, His heart becomes our heart. His desires become our desires. And so then we begin to pray His heart, His will be done. As we seek God through prayer, and here's the important part, when we actually take time to listen, right? Because oftentimes we're good at praying. Oh God, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. Thanks God. Boom, and we're out the door, right? We're good at taking time maybe to pray, but do we listen to the Lord's response? Do we listen to Him? And when we take time to listen to His response, when we listen to that still, small voice, it enables us to align our heart with His. And then we're able to pray those heartfelt prayers. And it's those heartfelt prayers that make a difference. It's those heartfelt prayers that impact the world around us. Hannah, she's been barren for some time here. You know, it said year after year they went up. And her husband's other wife has many sons and daughters. So she's been barren for a long period of time. But she continues to seek the Lord, and she continues to pray for His will to be done in her life. Can you imagine if Hannah could have seen into the future? Right? I mean, I think for all of us, what if we could see into the future? If she could have seen into the future, she would have known that in God's timing, she would have a son. And here's the thing, not just any son. That son would one day anoint David to be king of Israel. Samuel became this amazing man of God. If we only knew the plans that God had for us, right? Maybe we would pray a little differently. Regardless of the problems and difficulties we face in this world, we have to continue to seek the Lord. Continue to trust in God and His perfect will for our lives. Just talking to someone, was that this morning? Yeah, this morning we were talking. God's never early, right? Well, come on, God. But He's never late. He's right on time. We have to trust in His timing, in His will, because we never know what our prayers will bring. As we seek, Hannah didn't know what the future held, but she continued to pray and seek the Lord. Women of faith continually seek God in prayer. The next thing we see from these scriptures with Hannah is this. Women of faith experience God's blessings. They experience God's blessings in their life. In verse 20 it says, "So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, 'Because I asked the Lord for him.'" And I believe it's because of Hannah's faithfulness that she experienced God's blessing upon her life. Now, I want to be careful here, because I'm not a prosperity preacher, okay? I don't believe in that. I'm not saying if you're a woman of faith that every prayer you pray will be answered the way you want. That's not what I'm saying here. Oh yeah, I'm a woman of faith. Blessings are just going to fall upon me, okay? That's not what I'm saying. But here's the thing. If we are people who are faithful to the Lord, and if we're faithful to walk in His ways, then I believe we will experience His blessings in one way or another. Because I believe this, God loves to bless His children. Talks about it in Matthew 7:11. It tells us how God loves to give good gifts to His children. He loves to give good gifts. He wants to bless us. I know I've shared this once or twice before, but the greatest advice I have ever received when it comes to experiencing God's blessing came from a man by the name of Pastor Ron Mell. Some of you may have heard of his name. He wrote books that are well known. He was actually the Foursquare pastor of Beaverton, or the pastor of Beaverton Foursquare Church for many years, and he has gone to be with the Lord. But I was blessed as a young youth pastor back in 2001 to get to be a part of a youth pastors conference where Pastor Ron Mell spoke to us. Shared some just amazing words that impacted my life forever. But something he shared with us was something his mom told him when he was heading off to Bible college. She said to him, "Son, if you want to experience God's blessing in your life, then be blessable. Be blessable." And what she was basically saying, give God a reason to want to bless you. Give Him a reason to want to bless you. If we're walking in faith, and if we're doing our best to honor God in all that we do, then God's going to want to bless us. Right now in youth group on Sunday evenings, we're in a series that's walking through Hebrews chapter 11. And if you're not familiar with Hebrews chapter 11, it's often referred to as the Hall of Faith. We've heard of the Hall of Fame, right? You know, football players, baseball players, a Hall of Fame. Where Hebrews 11 is referred to often as the Hall of Faith, because it's all about these great men and women of God from the Old Testament, these great men and women of faith. And the key aspect of Hebrews 11 is that these men and women, they were known for their faith in God. They were known for their faith. And here's the thing, when you look at that list, all these men and women, they experienced God's blessing upon their lives. Their faithfulness to God made them blessable. Now, when you look at that list, they weren't perfect. You know, they messed up at times like all of us do. But in the midst of their failures, they picked themselves up and they continued to walk in faith. And God blessed them because of that, because of their faithfulness. And Hannah here was no different. Despite her problems and struggles, she remained faithful to God. And as she remained faithful, 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 she then experienced His blessings upon her life. God wants to bless us if we are willing to be blessable, right? And live the lives that He's called us to live. The final thing that we see in the Scriptures and the life of Hannah is this. Women of faith keep their promises. Women of faith keep their promises. Hannah dedicated herself to her child. It says that she nursed him, she nurtured him, right? Knowing that when he was able to eat on his own, she would take him to the temple to be raised in the ministry. Can you imagine that, right? You know, I'm going to raise my kid up, and once he's about yee-hi and weaned and taking care of himself, I'm going to go hand him over for ministry of the church. Verse 27 and 28 says, she says to Eli the priest, "I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord for his whole life will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Hannah cried out to God. And in those prayers, she made a promise to the Lord. Lord, if you do this, I will give him back to you. Now, I know many people in desperation cry out to the Lord, making all sorts of promises, right? Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll serve you the rest of the day. Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll do this. If you get me out, I'll do this, right? Many people have thrown out those prayers. Lord, help me here. I promise I'll do this. If you take me out of this, I'll never do this again. Right? And most of the time, what happens? We forget those promises as time passes. Or once we get out of the trouble, okay, I'm good, thanks God. Right? We don't remember the promises. But that isn't the case with Hannah. Hannah was faithful to keep her promise. And I can only imagine how hard this must have been. You know, you've wanted a child for so long, and you've had, you know, I don't know, you know, some people say 3, 4, 5 years old at that time, you know, back in those days when we don't know exactly how old Samuel was. But how hard it would have been to raise to that point and then hand him off. She was faithful to keep her promises. She knew that God had been faithful to her, so she needed to be faithful to Him and to be obedient to that promise. And here's the thing, I believe Hannah understood something that many of us struggle with, which is the reality that our kids, they don't really belong to us. They're on loan from the Lord. They're His. They're the Lord's. He's loaned them to us, and it's our responsibility to steward them well, to raise them up in the ways of the Lord, to keep our promises as men and women of God, to be faithful to raise them in the way that He's called us to raise them. And Hannah was faithful to do that. The very last line of this chapter, it just jumped out at me at the end. It says, and he worshiped the Lord there. Samuel did. In that moment, he worshiped the Lord there. Samuel, he was young. A young boy. And in that moment, as his mom's bringing him, he worships the Lord there. I think Hannah knew the commands that God gave in Deuteronomy 6. Verses 6 and 7, I think I have this to go up on the screen. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Basically everywhere. Teach them the ways of me. Pour these things into their life. I believe Hannah, she knew these commands. She knew what was expected as a woman of God. And you see, it's one thing to say that our children are dedicated to the Lord. Because many of us, yeah, you know, we get up here, we dedicate our children to the Lord. It's one thing to say that our children are dedicated to the Lord. It's another thing to give them to the Lord fully, as Hannah did here. An amazing sacrifice. I want to finish this morning with a true story that happened during the Holocaust. And I don't know why I'm sharing this. I'm going to probably cry like a baby. But it goes with what I'm talking about. Listen to this story. Solomon Rosenberg, his wife and their two sons were arrested and placed in a concentration camp. The rule was simple. As long as they did their work, they were permitted to live. When they became too weak to work, they would be executed. Rosenberg actually watched his own father and mother, who were marched off to their deaths as they became too weak. And he knew that his youngest son, David, would be next, because he had always been a frail child. Every evening, Rosenberg came back into the barracks after his hours of hard labor, and he would search for the faces of his family. When he found them, they would huddle together, embrace one another, and thank God for another day of life. One day he came back in and he didn't see those faces. He finally discovered his oldest son, Joshua, in a corner, sobbing and praying. "Josh, tell me it's not true." Josh turned to his dad and said, "It's true, Dad. Today, David was not strong enough to do his work, and so they took him away." Mr. Rosenberg then asked, "But where's your mother?" Joshua could barely speak and finally uttered, "Dad, when they came for David, he was afraid and he cried, and so Mom took his hand and walked with him." Powerful story of a mom willing to sacrifice. And I think this is a picture of the kind of love that Hannah had for Samuel. She was willing to sacrifice herself for the sake of her son. She loved him so much that she was willing to give up a mother's greatest joy, right? To be able to raise her son and have him around her all the time. She gave that up. She was committed to be faithful to her promise and do whatever it took for him to be the man of God that he was called to be. Hannah truly was a woman of faith. And as we focus on the aspect of being a woman of faith this morning, the reality is each of these things can be applied to men or women. If you're sitting here today as a man going, "Well, I don't need to listen to this message because I don't need to be a woman of faith," right? Here's the thing. You can apply each of these things to any of our lives. People of faith have problems, right? Like everybody else. And that's okay. It's okay that we have problems. It's okay that life is difficult if we remain faithful and keep coming back to the Lord. People of faith seek the Lord in prayer. They bring their problems to God. People of faith experience God's blessings because they seek to be blessable as they honor God with their lives. People of faith keep their promises by being true to the Lord and living the lives we committed to live when we said yes to Him. God desires all of us, like Hannah, to be people of faith, living the life that He's called us to live. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for this Scripture and this amazing woman of faith, Hannah, Lord. The testimony that she is to each of us, Lord, to be faithful to You, knowing that she wasn't perfect, knowing that she went through struggles, but in it all, she sought You and sought to be the woman of faith that You called her to be. And Lord, we want to be people who seek You with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. Lord, we want to be who You have called us to be, to live the lives that You have called us to live, Lord. To be people of faith who are obedient to You and Your calling upon our life. People who do our best to be blessable. That You would want to pour out Your blessings upon us because we're doing our best to live the lives that You've called us to live, Lord. We thank You for this word, and we just pray that You would allow this word to penetrate each of our hearts this morning, Lord. Where we're at, whatever we're going through, Lord, You know that, and You meet us where we're at. Whatever those specific points that each of us need today, may we draw those out, and may we begin to work on them, that we become the people of faith that You've called us to be, Lord. We thank You for these things. We thank You for Your word. May You allow it to just encourage us and challenge us as we walk out of this place. And that ultimately, Lord, we'll be different because of the way the Holy Spirit moved in our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.